Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
¿Quieres mejor internet? Cox Internet de 300 megas tiene las velocidades rápidas y confiables que buscas. Perfecto para streaming y gaming y trabajar desde casa. Todo por solo $45 al mes cuando agregas Cox Mobile. Incluye equipo de Wi-Fi y garantía de precio de 2 años en tu plan. No esperes. Cámbiate hoy a Cox. Requiere Cox Mobile Gig Unlimited. Garantía de precio no incluye impuestos y cargos. Velocidad de datos móviles se reduce después de 20 gigas al mes.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to part 2 of Somebody That I Used to Know. You see, I practice that. Nice. That's perfect.
I thought so.
Welcome back, everyone. Part 2. I'm Carmen. She's Kelsey. We're going to do the things here, but make sure, if you have not done it yet, hit that 5-star button, hit that follow button, hit that like, review, share, tell all your friends and family about us. Go to Grey's Academy Pod on Instagram and follow us. Go to carmen.gabriel.official and follow me. Go to Chaotically Kelsey and follow her. And we just love you guys. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to join the Patreon and join our Discord, do that. Discord.com/Grey's Academy Pod. We are the best. We are the only ones who do what we do. And that is why we do what we do. So, Kelsey, take it away.
Alrighty, we are going to start with everyone's favorite segment, Living in Chondaland.
Living in Chondaland!
Nice.
Nice.
We got 3 people this episode.
Donna.
Yes.
Victor.
Yes.
Babysitter.
No.
Fuck you, Kelsey!
Oh, no.
Is it the girl talking to Donna about the guy named Stan? Or is it fucking Stan? Is it Stan?
It is not Stan.
Is it the girl talking to Donna about Stan?
Yeah.
Damn it. All right.
It's the one when she's like, it's not my husband. Her name's Lenore.
Oh, yes, Lenore.
All right. So, Valerie Mahaffey is Donna. She plays in 1 episode of Private Practice. Gordon Clapp plays Victor in 1 episode of Private Practice, different episode. And then Kristen Lindquist is Lenore, and she's in a different episode of Private Practice and 1 episode of Scandal.
Ooh, very nice.
Yep.
Love it. And this segment of Living in Chondaland is brought to you by our dear friends at Shure. We have not talked to them. We haven't talked about them for a while, but we do want to remind you all, if you're liking what you hear in your ears, and we are too, make sure you know it's Shure. I came up with that on the spot.
Such a little salesman.
Also got some Pokemon cards here.
Hello!
So this is called the Prismatic Evolution set. It's got all the Eevee guys on here.
Is this new?
It's old, but I just got these packs yesterday.
Okay, they're new to you.
Yeah, new to me. So we're going to open these up. Stopped at a Walmart on the way home from my wife being under anesthesia and having her eggs drawn out of her body to get some Pokemon cards. Because she knows how much they mean to our family.
Oh, that's like a weird ice duck thing.
Okay, hold on. That is, Houndoom. That is a dog. It's okay.
That's a guy.
That's just a guy. Yeah. It's professor's research. Okay.
That's some berries.
Okay.
And a worm.
It's called Applin. It's an apple guy. Uh-huh. Okay. So you're right. I'll give you that one.
This is like a fancy betta fish.
Yeah, that's Goldeen. That's a good one. Original 151 there. Good job. That is basically, she does look like a beta fish. That's a good call.
Oh my God, this is like a scientist leaf hat lady.
Oh my goodness. Cypher Maniac's code breaking. Her hair does kind of look like a leaf hat, but it is just green hair.
This is some egg coconut guys on a tree.
Yep. Yep. Executor. Very nice. Egg coconut tree. Very good.
A lady.
Just another lady. Yeah. Who is this lady? Lacey. Very cool.
Evie! I know this one. That's Evie. I know her.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Evie. We love Evie.
Oh my God. He's so cute. Look at this like weird unicorn guy. He's so mad. Oh my God. His skill is headbutt. I love him. Who is this?
This is Larvitar, also one of my favorites, actually.
He's hilarious. And actually, I love him.
He's got a little, you see the little ball thing in the back? He's got a little master ball. So that's actually, this is a nice one. This is going to go in my collection. I got to keep this one. And ooh, then, ooh, a full art guy. Who's this guy?
Atticus.
Let's see. This is Atticus. I wonder if you're expensive, Atticus. cool. Well, that was fun. That was a good one. Oh, man.
I love that silly guy.
And I got a,
what a funny
that little
guy.
Larvitar with the master that's ball. So I got a, silly. I got a. Master Ball Larvitar. How expensive are you? Let's see. No, well, nothing like
free. People pay to have him taken away.
No, he's $2. But tell me about this Atticus guy. Atticus.
Yeah,
who
he's
are you?
Shiny. He looks a little emo. Looks like a little emo he's, guy.
Got like a lot of big Atticus. red hair.
The old coat.
Oh, perfect. 63 cents. Perfect. Amazing. So, not
life-changing
not
money.
No, yeah. Bad investment on this one.
Whatever, Eevee.
Rarely happens with Pokemon.
A classic love the Eevee card.
Mm. Just really
and Larvitar.
Just doing the best here.
My
Larvitar.
Larvitar.
He evolves into one of my favorite Pokemon, Tyranitar.
Amazing.
And that's a big boy.
It's a big boy. It sounds like a big boy.
That's a big boy. All right, so let's kick us off. Should we start with, this is all kind of entwined with the Christina and the Meredith and the Owen and the Emma and the everything kind of gets crazy here. So where do you want to start?
I actually want to start with Callie in Arizona and Leah.
Let's do that.
I'm just like really mad about it. And the more I think about it, it's making me more mad from a... just like a societal standpoint, because I was like, okay, I don't like Leah, obviously. I don't think we're meant to like Leah. I don't find her to be sympathetic. I feel like we're meant to feel a little bit bad for her. But what is really starting to bother me is, like, the more I think about it is, like, and this is probably less true now in the year 2026, but when this came out in 2013, I just feel like this type of character is solely written for women. Like, no one ever writes a man that, like, gets so instantly, like, ooh la la, love struck eyeballs, like, I'm now gonna like wreck my whole life and the lives of others around me because I like had a fling with someone. And it's just like, it's really pissing me off right in this moment. And I'm not saying it never happens. I cannot think of one right now on the top of my head that it's ever been written that way with a man.
Yeah.
And you can, like, how easy is it to think of like so many female characters with this like trope written about them? And it's really annoying, especially like, it's one thing if you're writing it in like a teenager, but like we're
this
adults
is an adult
and you're
woman.
In a professional setting. And it's just like really frustrating to watch from like with that mindset. It was just like, I think that is also kind of making me not like Leah more is because of this like societal concept that exists that is constantly like, in my opinion, overblown and pushed on women. But then you have people in reality that are like, well, women are definitely all like this. And that pisses me off.
Yeah. It is interesting, though. So this the vessel for which Callie and Arizona and Leah are kind of in this weird triangle thing is because of the girl who is riding on her scooter and she gets hit by a car. And the babysitter at one point is like, this is all on me. I should never have gotten so attached. And that apparently is the metaphor of which Leah is living in this episode, right?
Yeah. Which, like, as both a parent and someone who has been like a live-in nanny, I didn't like that either.
Yeah. It's okay to be attached. Like, you're raising a fucking child. Yeah,
if I'm leaving my kid with you, I want you to be attached.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm paying you to be attached.
Yes. So yeah,
I am with you on the Leah thing, because this is now two people, both a man and a woman, who she has done this head over heels thing with and blown it out of proportion. So yeah, I don't think they have written Leah as a likable person, but like, damn, give her a backbone. I love that scene with Steph and her in the stairway, though, where Steph's like, fucking stand up, go to the ER and be a surgeon then. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah, and like, it's, she, I don't know, like, Arizona tells Callie that she was with someone when they were separated, which I think was the right thing to do. I think, and Arizona's like, we need to start this being honest. I like thought we were apart, and so I was like fucking around with somebody else. And Callie is like back and forth on, you know, how she feels about it.
I think I actually called that. Did I predict that she was gonna do that? She was gonna be the bigger person and like come out and say I was with someone else during our break? I think I predicted that.
I think you did. But yeah, I think Callie's allowed to, you know, be hurt by that, but also kind of like accept it and move forward. And I think they're in a place where that feels like it is good. Leah is asking Arizona, like, do you think you're like super back together, or should I like still hang out and like want to fuck you a little bit? I don't know.
Yeah.
And says, Arizona's like, you don't want to be the person who waits around in case it doesn't work out with my family.
Yeah.
And that's valid.
It's not a good look.
Yeah.
To your point, I just want to also second what you said. There are more times that they write women into that cliche than men.
Yes, and absolutely.
Sickening. And I've seen the movie Tootsie, and I see how women are portrayed in Hollywood and how they are treated. Okay? I see it. We all see you.
What made you watch that?
Jess made some sort of offhanded comment about the movie Tootsie, and Bill was here helping with Marlo. And there's so many movies I haven't seen.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's with Dustin Hoffman. And I go, oh, most famous for his role in Meet the Fockers. And they're like, well, maybe The Graduate or Tootsie or all these other, Rain Man, all these other movies. And I'm like, yeah, I haven't seen any of them. And they're like, well, we're putting Tootsie on right now. And I was like, okay. And I was going into it fully expecting to not like it, and I was going to end up playing my Switch. I started playing my Switch, and I liked it so much I had to turn off Pokemon to watch this movie. It was very good.
Wow, high praise.
High praise.
Yeah, so what were we talking about? Yeah, Leah, it's like I both want to feel bad for her, and I also want her to shut the fuck up. Like, I think the reason that it is hard for me to feel bad for her is because of this like larger issue with like portrayal of women in the media.
Totally.
And like, that's not on her. And again, I do think it's more of the times, like it's something you see. It's still not nowhere, but it's, I would say, less normal now. It's just annoying. And she says she's like, it's weird because she has like a weird level of self-awareness where she's like, I always do this, but then she keeps doing it.
And she can't get out of it now that she's recognized it.
But I'm like, but you know, it seems so insincere. Like, it's so, I don't have words for it because it's just not relatable to me. Like, it really irks me. And I want her to seek therapy because I feel like there's something going on where there's not like self-worth from within. And I hate that for her. Like, obviously, like, I think everyone deserves to feel worthy, and constantly looking for that in someone else is never going to give you like a positive outcome. And I feel for her on that because like that is hard and sad. And, but yeah, I don't like, and obviously it's hard too, as someone who likes Callie and wants Callie and Arizona to succeed as a couple. And, you know, Arizona did in fact make a poor choice because she chose to do that with someone else in the hospital. Like, I have actually genuinely have no issue with her sleeping with someone else while her and Callie are apart. I do think some clarification would have probably been a good idea. But I don't necessarily think she was in the wrong for doing that what I do think was a poor choice was picking someone in the workplace that they share.
Yeah. The other thing that I want to call out with this, the storyline that is feeding into some of my opinion on this is, I think back to the Alex situation with Leah. He ghosted her. She had no closure. Here, yeah. Arizona is being very direct, very honest, and there's a family piece.
Mm-hmm.
So and she there's knows like this. A very, and she knows it. It feels like that would have been enough for the rational brain to kick in and be like, okay, I'm good. I get it.
Yeah.
But it's not.
It really isn't.
Yeah. So yeah, cool that Arizona goes to Cali and is like, hey, I want to be open and honest. I was with someone, blah, blah, blah. I like that Arizona's like, do you want to ask me anything about it? And Callie's like, yeah. Well, I guess, was it like a one-time thing? And she's like, more than 10. Whoa. Okay. I don't have any more questions. That's fine. Whatever.
Yeah.
Feels like the first question should have been, is it someone that I know?
Or just who in general? Like, oh, someone that you met at Joe's or yeah, someone that we constantly both work with.
Was it somebody that I used to know? Like, you know, it's crazy. So the way that the reveal, I knew the reveal was going to come in this episode. Like I was like, okay, this is going to happen. When is it going to happen? I didn't expect it to be in that scene where Callie's teaching an intern, resident, a procedure, and Leah can't cut it.
And she can't, and she thinks it's because of this Arizona situation. I don't know.
And it's not. It's not.
And she's reading the room wrong, and she's then putting everyone in a bad position.
Yeah, and when she turns to Arizona, it's like, can you do something? Well, can you fucking do something? Can you do it right? You're just being taught. Yeah.
Like, how
and
are you
that's when Callie's like, it was her?
Yeah, it's really frustrating, again, and I just, like, don't have any, like, why are you turning to Arizona in that moment and asking her to do something about, like, it's just not, none of it's good. I just hate it. I hate none watching it. I just hate it in every way. Like, I'm just mad about it.
And when Leah goes to Arizona and says, well, she can't hate you, she loves you, like, she hates me now and that affects my career, maybe you shouldn't have choked. Maybe you should have just been better.
I am like, would Leah have choked if that hadn't been Callie? Because I think she's so in her head about the Arizona of it that she's like deciding she can't do this because she's in the room with the two of them.
Yeah.
But I don't think that Leah actually had any issue with that procedure. I think she just got in her own head about it because she can't separate anything. Again, like this is like a her problem. Again, Arizona is also in the wrong. She should not have slept with her in the first place. The power dynamic is fucked up. It's sexual harassment, in my opinion. But in this, like, Leah is not making it any better.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's, like, very... I just have a lot of feelings about... I don't like this storyline because I just hate, like, the dynamic that it presents because, like, there's so many layers to it being wrong and, like... I feel like Arizona is the most wrong because she has the upper hand as far as like the power dynamic and she should never have crossed that line. And then Leah is like being, I guess not like, I don't know that taken advantage of is right, but like she is put in a really bad position, which is unfair. And like her own emotional issues are making it worse. And then Callie, you know, is basically just catching strays, essentially, by the fact that these choices have been made by someone that she's associated with. It's just, it's a really bad, and like, it's hard because I don't like Leah, but I have to like remind myself that she is getting fucked over because of the whole like fact that Arizona is her superior. I don't know. It's just so, I hate it. I hate it so much. And I'm like, I'm just, yeah, I feel like I'm just like rambling about it because I just really despise the way it all plays out and the way it's all written. And yeah, I know it's not for me.
It's a shitty combination of fucked up choices, mm-hmm. and a garbage power dynamic.
Yeah.
So it's not good anywhere. So I think, you know, as we come to the end of that, where Leah, again, she chokes. Arizona has nothing to do with the choking, but Leah's in her own head. I think that's a great point. But she's back with the babysitter. And then again, there's that conversation where she's like, I'm the last person they want to see. And it's crazy. It's not even my kid, blah, blah, blah. Obviously, again, Leah's feeling that mirrored effect there. But when Arizona goes to Callie at the end, and Callie basically says something to the effects of, maybe she go check on Leah because she doesn't cry. And then Callie and Arizona, they kind of get into it a little bit, and Callie says, keep the fuck ups and the smushing of the booties out of the hospital and out of the drama and all this stuff. And Arizona's like, dude, I'm tired of apologizing all the time. I came to you. We're in this. Let's move on. And I'm done sleeping on the couch. And then Callie's like, well, okay, you get one more night on the couch because this is just fucking dumb with the Leah situation. And Arizona says, okay, fine. You're right. One more night. So I don't know. I think that there's moving forward that's happening. I don't know if you have any more in-depth like receipts that you wanted to share in that conversation, but I think Callie is very fair in her right to be like, dude, today I found out that you fucked up with someone. Love the honesty, but still it's bullshit that it's a resident, someone that I know, and it affected my OR today.
Mm-hmm.
It's fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, I think
I get one more night to be pissed.
I like that. With the Callie and Arizona piece, we are getting like positive communication from both of them. Like Arizona's like, I am sorry. I do want to be honest. But at the same time, like I don't want to like do this if it's just constantly going to be you throwing this in my face, which is fair. But I like that Callie's also like, okay, fine. Like, I am glad I know this is a boundary that I have in the future. Like, give me one night to process this and then we can kind of like move forward more productively. So, you know, for a show where constantly one of the main issues is people not communicating, it is nice to see people communicating in like a productive way. But yeah, just like the whole, there's just so much about it that's really fucked up and it's not like really resolved. Like, it feels like Callie and Arizona are moving forward and resolved, but you have this Leah piece. She's upset, rightfully so, in relation to like the career piece for sure. And you just are like, okay, this is like a wild card. Like, what's gonna happen? It's not fair for her, obviously, to have her career and her education negatively impacted by this. But it's weird because like it feels like she's putting blame on Callie and it's not Callie's fault at all. Like, Callie's the least to blame.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's just, like, unfortunate. And again, if we could get HR involved, you know, it'd be delightful.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be great. I do want to also call out, there was a scene when I really liked this scene. It was early on when Arizona tells Callie about the sex. I don't even want to call it cheating because they were separated. So I don't really, maybe it's an affair, but maybe not cheating. Mm-hmm. At the end, Arizona's like, I'd like to hug you if you're okay with that. And Callie gives permission and they hug. And then Leah walks in and they're like super awkward, whatever. Yeah. They jump off each other if it's fine. Anything else you have on the topic of Callie and Arizona? It is an interesting and fucked up situation overall.
Yeah, I don't know that I have anything else to say. I feel like I'm just rambling on about it, and it's just because it's really frustrating on many, many levels, and I don't like it.
It's absolutely frustrating. Yeah.
So yeah, that's it for now, I guess. Do you have a prediction on how that's going to play out?
I think my prediction, which I think at one point was they're for sure done. Is they're for sure not done now. But I feel like Leah is kind of writing herself out of the show. She's just not, I don't know, she's just not likable. Unless they give her like a really, I know that a lot of people don't like April. I don't mind April. She's kind of a quirky person. I like her and Jackson together, but it feels like we're not going to get that. I don't know. But I feel like they would really need to give Leah a strong hero arc to pivot her out of this. Mm-hmm. They probably are going to need to write her off or kill her.
Classic Grace.
Or something. Classic Grace. Just kill her. So, yeah, I have nothing left on that storyline. So I guess we can move on. We could talk very quickly about, like, Donna before we go into the other stuff, but just really fast, because this episode is also weird. Capitalism, baby, take it away. Thank you, capitalism. Love it. Okay, amazing.
So Donna is a patient that originally came in and they were going to do surgery to, like, get out some cancer, and then they realized, like, oh, it's Stefan Meredith, and they realize they can't, like, get it all the way that they were hopeful that they would have been able to. And so she's, like, interviewing ladies, and Steph's like, this is so weird. She's, like, interviewing women for her husband to be with after she's gone. Turns out she's interviewing people for her lover to be with after she's gone, because these people...
Bum, bum, bum!
This couple decided that they didn't love each other in the way a married couple does anymore, but they didn't want to get divorced because they were still best friends. So they just, like, have outside of marriage relationships that are normal, quote unquote, but they're still married. And that's, you know what? Different strokes for different folks. You know what? It works for them.
Exactly.
They talk about, they're like, the only reason this works is because we're honest with each other. It is what it is, and I'm not here to kink shame. If it works for them and nobody's getting hurt and everyone's being honest, why not? Why the fuck not?
Bingo.
So,
and it's all consensual. It feels like they both, you know, everyone's kind of got this very similar life, and it's not like a weird power dynamic. Cali, Arizona, and Leo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and also, it's kind, like, of interesting.
Divorce is stupidly expensive, and it's kind of becomes a thing where it's like, people, like, should you really need to pay for it? Especially if there's no animosity and they don't, like, have the need for things to be legally separated, then it's like, why do you need to go through the rigmarole of paying for it and dealing with that process?
Yeah. Yep, totally agree. And it's funny that Steph is the one who kind of, like, hears all these conversations.
Yeah.
Gotta tell ya, when Victor is Donna's husband, Stan is Donna's lover in the night. And when he's like, Stan's a good guy and we play golf, and then Stan shows up and they're sad about the dying part, and they give each other hugs. Whoa, talk about emotional maturity, men. Talk about non-toxic masculinity. This is great.
And it's also an interesting concept of, like, having a community and, like, a village to, like, get through something like that. Because they're both like, yeah, this is going to suck. Like, we're losing this person that we both love in both different and similar ways. So I don't hate this storyline. Like, yeah, it's kind of weird, and they play up a little bit the humor in it, but it's also, like, I think it's executed really well. And I like it. You know what? It's considerate, it's loving, it's open and honest. That's the whole thing. I like that they're like, this only works because we're honest. And they're honest with the other people. You know, Stan hates it, which is fine.
What's interesting? Well, yeah. When they write this this kind of idea with, like, would you consider this an open relationship?
Polyamorous.
It's open, though.
Well, yeah, I guess it's not really poly, because there, it's really just like two separate relationships.
They each, you know, I think they oftentimes write resentment into it, and I love that they were very clear that there's no resentment, there's no, like, again, the power struggle. It's and the two dudes are friends. You know, I don't know if, you know, Victor has a lover as well, but, you know, it's very interesting.
I think they
so I like
say
the story
that he
line.
Does. I think.
Do they? I might have missed that part.
Yeah.
I hadn't gotten over Joe trying to press the machine and trying to kill Weber at that point.
Yeah, and it's also funny because Stephanie's like, I'm trying to, like, eavesdrop for these people, but I can't. There's no, like, reason for me to stay in the room. And it's like...
Yeah.
It's so funny, but I'm like, why isn't Victor in the room with them? Because he's like he's like, we want to find someone. I'm like, then you should be in there too. Like, you know, like you're still going to be friends with Stan. So these women should like know you as well. You're like all, they're like building their own village.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. It's odd, but it's cute. They execute it in a fun way. And then Weber being odd, like, wait, are they having threesomes? And then Steph and Joe being like, please stop speaking.
Yeah. It's pronounced orgy, sir. They're having orgies.
Yeah, I like it. I like the storyline. I don't know that it really is mirroring anything.
It's sad. No.
Other than like, I guess the interns, or not interns, the residents being their own community and their own village and their own, you know, family in a more less normal, quote unquote, way.
Yeah. The rest of the episode, and I'm going to let Kelsey drive this because I know that we're on a little bit of a time crunch, and and I'm going to respect your time as we need to. So you run the ship as long as you want, but there's basically the baby that they've been dealing with for the heart with the 3D printer.
Baby Nathan.
Is still in. Baby Nathan, is that who it is?
Mm-hmm.
Baby Nathan is still a challenge, and it's leading into a manifestation of kind of this blowing up with Christina and Meredith, which is also involving the wonderful American holiday of Thanksgiving for some reason. So take it away, so, Kelsey. We'll let you drive this one.
Emma's there on her day off because apparently libraries don't exist. So she needs to come and read.
Or coffee shops in Seattle.
Or her own home. She needs to come and sit in a conference room that will arguably not be productive because people will be in and out of it all day bothering her. So she comes in for that. And then Meredith like makes some, she made muffins. And so Meredith makes some offhand comment about like, oh, if you're cooking Thanksgiving, I'm coming. And she's like, oh, we haven't talked about it. Oh, and Meredith's like, well, why don't you cook it at our house? And Meredith makes it weird. And then they just like end up inviting all these people to be like, okay, Emma, you're going to cook for like 20 something people. Obviously like Alex was going to bring Joe, but then she ends up staying with the interns and Richard and everything. But it just keeps snowballing into this whole thing. And they're like, well, Callie and Arizona are like back together now. So we have to invite them. And
weird that Owen was the one who broke the news to Derek and Meredith.
Yeah.
That they're together.
Yeah.
Because I think Meredith said, we should invite Callie. And Derek says, well, it'd be weird because we can't invite Arizona. And Owen's like, but they're together.
Yeah. I agree. It's weird that he breaks. They're like, wait, she was living with us like 5 minutes ago and now they're back together.
She cared for our child.
Yeah, it's just bizarre. It just like snowballs. And then Owen's like, oh, maybe I'll ask if I can invite Christina. And while all of this is happening, Christina and Shane are having issues with this 3D printer printing this graph for baby Nathan that he needs, and he can't have whatever the normal one is because his body is like rejecting it. Meredith is mad about the printer situation because they've like made this schedule and now they're trying to break the schedule, and she's like, well, I have to get my thing done by this or I'm gonna lose my funding. And then Christina is like, come and look at this baby. And Meredith like makes it about the kids thing again, which I don't think is what Christina is trying to do, but Meredith is still mad about those comments.
I agree with you.
So she like makes it about that. And she's like, oh, you just think because I'm a mom, you can show me a baby and I like won't care anymore. But like, that's not true. And it's just like, it's exhausting. Meredith, like, I understand like the frustration around the printer piece, but like she's really not moving on past the original argument like 4 episodes ago about the like Meredith not being ready for the surgery. And it's just exhausting. And
can I chime in really quick here?
Yes, please.
This episode I think has officially shifted for me where I was like, damn, Christina's not talking to Meredith about her feelings. Now I officially am like, okay, Meredith, you're kind of being an asshole. You should talk to Christina about your feelings. Because there's two different pages happening here. Mm-hmm. And I feel like the blame is shifting to Meredith a little bit.
Yeah, because Meredith, again, like, won't move on past that comment.
Exactly.
And so even though Christina's, like, trying to give her time to kind of, like, get over it, she simply isn't. And so Christina isn't really talking because she doesn't want to push anything. And Shane is, like, making Christina do the printer, even though she's like, we shouldn't do it because, you know, it's Meredith's printer. And then also this is all happening with Christina saying that she needs to get laid, and Shane hearing, and then, like, volunteering as tribute, and, like, again, sexual harassment out the fucking wazoo.
Yep.
And Alex is like, can you and Meredith make up so you don't have to talk to me about sex anymore?
Yeah, when she's like, the best rack in the shack, like, okay, let's calm down.
She's like, my work suffers, it's bad for medicine that I'm not getting laid. Like, I just can't. And Shane hears it, and then he's like, if you need me to be your human sex toy, like, I will do that for you. And she's like, don't ever speak to me again. And then Meredith comes in and is super rude, and Shane, like, stands up for Christina, which I have mixed feelings about because I think it's hella inappropriate. But I also like that someone is saying it because Christina won't. And I also hate how fucking condescending Meredith is in that moment when she's like, oh, someone's got the hero worship down. Like, I that makes me so angry.
Pretty crazy, Meredith.
It's insane, and I hate it. This episode is weird because I think in a lot of ways it does a lot of things really well, but, like, it's hard to watch. So I'm like, I don't like these storylines from an emotional standpoint, but I think they're executed well. I just hate them because they're, like, rough.
I want to say, so I think that I have most of this verbatim down, but when she goes, you are not Christ's child reincarnate, you don't walk on water, you fail to revolutionize modern medicine and save a baby in one fell swoop, and you're endangering a child's life. And then that's when Shane yells in and is like, mother fucking fucker, shut up. Yeah, and then when she's like the hero worship thing, it's like, dude, Meredith, like, Then you go and run to Derek and say, oh, my friend's a mean girl. You're kind of a mean girl too, Meredith.
And then he, like, he almost says something. He almost is like, is she being mean or is she? And then he stops himself, which I'm like, yeah, I think he's reading the room appropriately.
Well, because Ben earlier in the episode says, I shut my fucking mouth when I talk at home.
Which I do think is a bad piece of advice for the most part.
Yes.
But I think that, like, in this moment, Derek sees that, like, Meredith is not going to be receptive of anything in this moment. So, like, maybe there is something helpful he can say. But it's going to have to be after she's cooled down. Yeah. There are just times when you have to accept that, like, nothing is going to be heard in a productive way based on someone's, like, current emotional state. And she's, like, very heated still. She's very upset. And so I do think he was gonna say, is she being mean or is she right? But he doesn't. And again, I actually don't fault him for that because he knows her well enough to be like, this is not gonna do anything. There's nothing good can come of me saying this in this moment. And so she's mad. It's, like, super weird. Owen's like, oh, hey, good news. We can invite Christina. And Meredith's like, great. I fucking love that. I'm so glad we can invite Christina. And Owen's like, okie dokie.
You guys can't see Kelsey's face on that, but it was really good. It was very good.
It's rare that I have, like, a large problem with Meredith. There are plenty of times when I'm like, Meredith, whatever. Like, you're not my favorite. It's fine. I don't care. But this is, like, I do think at the beginning there was a lot of this issue that was on Christina, and it is just, like, snowballed to the fact that, like, Meredith is making it impossible to move past it for everyone. So, again, it's, like, really frustrating.
Yeah,
And then also, you know, Shane stands up for Christina. Meredith leaves in a huff, and then Christina kisses him because everyone is making terrible choices. Again, this is sexual harassment because she is his superior.
Yep. And it's now has it canceled out because he's like, yo, dude, like, I'll fuck with your yayas. Let's do this shit. And then she's like, no. HR claim number one against Shane. And then Christina kisses Shane. HR strike number one against Christina. They cancel out. We're back to a level playing field, apparently. That end scene, though, was wild, where it's super awkward. It's super uncomfortable. Derek walks away. Owen walks away. Christina walks up. And then Meredith walks away. And I think the final thing that Meredith's monologue says is, nothing's wrong. Of course nothing's wrong.
Nothing's wrong when you won't talk about anything.
Oh my gosh.
So it's rough. This is still obviously going on. It has not been resolved, which is another one. I love it. I know you love it when Meredith and Christina are having issues and it just continues and is super drawn out.
I actually got to tell you, wait, sidebar. In the middle of all this, unrelated to Meredith and Christina, there's like this small weird sub story of also people not communicating where April invites Steph her wedding and not Jackson, right?
Yeah.
Just like need to call that out. And Jackson finally calls her out later and is like, bitch, if it's a problem, I won't fucking go. It's all right. Like, don't worry. But like, if he has a problem with it, maybe you both should grow up. And there's something else going on, but whatever, it's fine.
When she's like, I can't get married to him without your blessing, I'm like, then you should not be getting married to him.
Yeah,
that's down not with the patriarchy. A solid foundation. Ugh. It's like, even if that was like a female friendship, I would be like, if you are like, again, looking outwardly for people to validate your relationship, then there's something going on with you or with your relationship. I don't, it's not good.
None of it's good. So, it's no one is communicating with anyone in this episode, but it is crazy. I actually am not frustrated with the Meredith-Christina storyline right now. I'm, like, actually very curious what's going to happen, because I know it's going to end up with an apology. They're going to be best friends forever. They're each other's persons. It's fine. But I am wondering, like, when is this going to resolve? I'm not mad, okay. and I am fine with it right now. I'm not annoyed with it. Really, I'm not. I'm actually enjoying the storyline, and I think Meredith exploding at Christina was kind of intriguing fire.
Yeah, not normal for Meredith. It's not what we've seen from her before. So it is. It does offer like something new to the narrative for sure.
There was one thing that I know you mentioned it, but I want to circle back to it. When she goes and says, you think that I'm going to start fucking lactating through my boobs every time I see a child, like, Meredith, calm down, Christina. Yeah. It's not that deep and you're making it that deep. So, kind of interesting right now, but I've shifted to team Christina. I was pretty offended on Meredith's behalf when this all started, but I think I'm on Christina's side right now.
It's like the original thing. Definitely, I was not on Christina's side, but then like this other thing happened tangentially, just like poor timing happened alongside that. And so now it's like getting swept up in the original issue and nobody can figure out their shit. So here we are.
So April and Jackson are at a weird communication point. Ben and Bailey are at a weird communication point. Derek doesn't know how to communicate with Meredith. Christina and Meredith don't know how to communicate with each other. Callie and Arizona are in this weird spot. Leah's just like floating around, not sure what her life even means anymore. Weber has a broken rib, but they're all eating Thanksgiving food together. The healthiest relationship in the show right now is Alex and Joe, and that's a win.
That's so true. And he wants her to go, and he's like, I don't want to go if you're not there. And she's like, that's so cute. You should go, and then we'll like eat Chinese food together in the car after. And
love it.
Yeah, their relationship and smush. Is good. Yeah, obviously. So yeah, they're doing well. They've recovered from the Alex's dad of it all.
Haven't seen Alex's dad since the punch, which is kind of shocking to me. I thought Alex's dad was going to be around more for some reason. Maybe press charges, track him down, figure it out.
Yeah, so I don't know. Is there anything else you want to hash out in this one before we rate it? And
Let me look really quick. I do think it's an important call out that, you know, Meredith needs a little bit more of situational awareness around the mean girl situation, because she's kind of being a mean girl too. I thought it was cute when Christina was watching Owen and Emma, and she's like brought the muffin and she's working in the conference room, and Christina's like, bleh, this is dumb, walks away. And Callie and April are like, oh no, it's kind of cute and adorable. And they both agree on that. And I love that. It's just cute moments like that.
I don't hate that moment. I don't think it's cute that she's there. I'm like, I don't have an issue with her, honestly, other than the fact that she likes Owen. That's a problem. But I think that like, it's weird. I'm like, why would you go there to do this?
Yeah, no, it's dumb. It's dumb that she went. It's cute that once she's there.
Yeah.
And then
it's
the
nice
last
that
thing
she
I'll
made
say
muffins
to
for everyone. I love a good baked good.
Muffin wrong with that. There's a scene right before the title card where Leah tells the babysitter it's all going to be fine, and I thought the girl was going to die, but she didn't. So I'm glad.
Yeah, I was like, when she said that, I was like, I do not remember this kid dying, but that's all but a death warrant. Like, that's
yes,
like
the kiss
in
of
every
death.
Medical show, that's the thing that makes someone die is someone saying they won't die.
I promise it'll all be okay. Blah, dead. The Grim Reaper has his ears out for that. All right, let's rate
also,
it.
Also, wait, we did also skate over the fact that Leah had the drill and drilled through all the way through the kid's leg into the table.
To the table! Like, how bad of a doctor can you be, actually?
And Callie is literally so chill, and she's like, okay, just, like, take a minute, breathe, like, we're gonna fix this.
Yeah.
And, like, again, she's, like, freaking out as though Callie is screaming at her.
Yeah. Trying to crucify her because she knows. She didn't know until that moment, Leah.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so grateful that our Leah is much better than this show's Leah.
Thank
so,
God.
Shout out, Leah.
Our Leah would not be our Leah if she was this Leah.
Our Leah would not be our Leah if she was this Leah.
You know what I mean?
That's so true. I know what you mean.
Anyways, yeah.
Rate it? All right, we're going to say it at the same time.
Okay.
One, two, three. 3.9.
4.2. Oh,
we're close.
I actually, like, as much as I spend a lot of time, like, rambling and complaining, I think there's something good to be said about an episode that, like, invites so much dialogue. And I don't think, I don't think they're executing anything poorly other than the fact that, you know, Leah is written to this, like, horrendous stereotype. It's interesting. It makes for good television, as much as I may or may not like the storylines. They feel real in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
but
I agree. And I think
sexually harass people at work.
Yeah, that's honestly one of the worst parts of the episode. I also will say that the April and Jackson not communicating, or like April being weird about, I can't invite Jackson and I don't want to upset Matthew. Like, okay, just go to counseling. Okay. Go to therapy. Mm-hmm. And also let me just say on that topic really quick, we've only seen the kind of like the longing eyes come from April. I don't think we've seen Jackson too recently really express this desire to be with April. It seems like he's pretty locked in with Steph right now. April is all the one, I think, reading too far into this stuff.
Right.
But yeah, there's some really good dialogue. I think the fact that the show is keeping me entertained in the Meredith versus Christina is pretty impressive. The will they, won't they on that argument piece. I really like Alex and Joe together. So that's kind of a fun storyline. I like the scenes around Thanksgiving and eating it out of a car or in a doctor's office. Like, it's just a fun community thing. It creates some cool dialogue around the Donna, Victor, and Stan thing. Actually, here's the thing. I'm upgrading it to a 4.0, okay. 3.9. I'm like talking myself into a 4.0. Yeah. It's a good episode. It's not, you know, the best I've ever seen, but it was fun. It was engaging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I definitely think for like having a lot of things unresolved, but in a way where you're like, okay, well, it's still moving towards a resolution. We just don't know how or what it will look like. It is, you know, interesting again to kind of get to see Meredith almost take on more of a Christina type personality in this argument, and Christina to be the one that's kind of sitting it out because she knows that Meredith is hurt. So it is a different dynamic for the two of them, but an intriguing one, as much as, you know, we hate it when they're not being BFFs. And I do want to go circle back and say, I do think the advice that Ben gives to Derek about shutting up is in fact terrible marriage advice, but there is a time when you have to read a room, and that's what Derek does well in this one scenario.
Anything else before we wrap it and strap it down and head into the week?
I don't know. I think you made most of your predictions. Do you want to do like a time frame prediction on when Meredith and Christina will hug again?
Well, we're going into 10. Episode 11.
Mm-hmm.
We're in episode 10 now. How many episodes are in season 10?
I imagine probably 23 or 22.
Okay, I was going to say 22 is my guess. This is not going to be an all season thing. Like that would be nuts. I think that they're probably coming to the end of this storyline, especially since Meredith exploded. The next time that we see an explosion might be Christina fighting back and Derek being like, dude, she has a fucking point.
24.
So 24. I think by episode 16, we'll have resolution. So by episode 16, what did I say? We were going to have Weber healed and out of here? Or what did I say? Something was going to happen. Callion, Arizona? I don't remember what I said. I predicted something earlier on.
I think it was Callion, Arizona. Not... And okay. Leah.
Maybe, yeah. But anyways, I think by episode 16, Meredith and Christine will be good again. So.
Okay. Okay. Well, looking forward to the rest of this
Weber.
Season.
Maybe it was Weber's prediction. I said in 5 episodes he'll be back and out of the fucking bed.
Okay. Well, I think that's really it. I think we've done most of the predictions then. So with that being said, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening along. And we hope you're all having a great day and a Grey's day and a Grey's Anatomy, Grey's Academy time. Please keep sharing us. We're getting more and more newbies tuning in, and we love that. Make sure you're leaving those reviews, those ratings, wherever you're listening, sharing us, tagging us on all the things. You can go to graysacademypod.com for all of the socials, all the merch, all of the links. You can email graysacademypod@gmail.com. If you do have any experience with OCD, we would love to hear those if you're willing to share, and if you're willing to have us share bits and pieces or all of that on the podcast. We'd love to hear from you as this storyline progresses, and just like your opinion of the perception and the portrayal of OCD on this show in particular. So thank you guys so much for listening, and just remember, if you see Carmen skipping down the street,
no spoilies. We appreciate you all so much, and we will see you all in the next one.